Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you for this 948th day together in the Word of God as we are here in Lamentations chapter 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful chapter we have before us, the very heart of this emotionally moving, stirring book. We pray that you would write this word on our hearts. Help us to hold fast to the things you show us today in times of sorrow and lament. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. To crush underneath all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High, to subvert a man in his lawsuit, the Lord does not approve. Who has spoken? And it came to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it. Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain, a man, about the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgotten. You have wrapped yourself with anger and pursued us, killing without pity. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. You have made us scum and garbage among the peoples. All our enemies open their mouths against us. Panic and pity have come upon us, devastation and destruction. My eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief. at the fate of the daughters of my city. I have been hunted like a bird by those who were my enemies without cause. They flung me alive into the pit and cast stones on me. Water closed over my head. I said, I am lost. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong done to me, O Lord. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their plots against me. You have heard their taunts, O Lord, all their plots against me. The lips and thoughts of my assailants are against me all the day long. Behold, they're sitting and they're rising. I am the object of their taunts. You will repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. You will give them dullness of heart. Your curse will be on them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under your heavens, O Lord. So here in Lamentations 3, the third lament, these are lamentations. There really are five laments here. Each chapter is its own poem. As I said before, if you were here for chapter 1 and 2, they're acrostics. So chapter 1, each verse begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and chapter 2, each verse begins. Here, it's tripled, although the verses are shorter, but it's tripled in that there are three verses per letter, and each one of the three verses starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So as you look, the ESV does a good job of putting them in groups of three, and you can think the first group of three is Aleph, and the second group of three is Beit, and the third group of three is Gimel and then Dalet. And each one of those three verses begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We have this, the most famous example of this in the Bible is Psalm 119, the longest psalm. And it has stanzas of eight verses that each begin with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But here, not only is it tripled in that you get three verses per, but there's really three distinct sections to this, in that you have, this is the most personal, this is very much the heart. I mentioned that in Hebrew poetry, you go to the middle of the poem to see the heart of it. It's what we call in biblical studies a chiasm or a chiastic structure, like the Greek letter X is the chi. And so you have something in the beginning which sort of introduces the theme. You have a concentration in the middle that is the very heart of it, and then it is sort of resolved and recapitulated at the end. The opening of chapter 1 sort of sets the theme where we are. It's the holy city, Jerusalem, that's been devastated and destroyed. Chapter 5, which we'll get to, is a poem, is a prayer to God. The entire chapter is a prayer. And so what we've seen in chapter 1, chapter 2, there were these laments, and then they led to prayer at the end of the chapter. We have that flow here, in that we have a lament that's going to lead to a prayer. The last third, or the third section, I should say, the final section of the chapter is prayer. Excuse me. Verses 1 to 22 is the first section, and verses 1 to 22, which is really the first third of the 66 verses in this, is very, very personal. This is no longer about the holy city or the people of God. This is about Jeremiah himself. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand. So he's no longer talking about the city or talking on behalf of the city. This is deeply personal. Jeremiah feels like God has treated him like an enemy, besieged him, enveloped him, made him dwell in darkness like the dead long ago. He's walled me in so that I cannot escape. Jeremiah is being brutally honest about how he feels. He's tried to be faithful to the Lord. He's served the Lord. He's spoken the word of the Lord. He's been rejected, and he still suffered along with everybody else, the siege and the captivity. And he's pouring out how he feels. But then verse 21 and 22 set up the transition to the middle part. And so the middle of the middle of Lamentations starts with this transition in 21 and 22. But R.C. Sproul said that was the most powerful word in all the Bible. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Now we're into the middle part of this, which is the heart of this book. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This almost doesn't even seem like the same Jeremiah as the opening 20 verses, because he's called to mind. He has called to mind the character of God. The steadfast love of the Lord, the chesed. The chesed of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. New every morning, great is your faithfulness. God's chesed, God's mercies, God's faithfulness. The character of God. He feels, his feels, right? God's treated me like an enemy. God's attacked me. God's besieged me. God's been terrible to me. And that's honest. That's honest about his feelings. But Jeremiah does not stop with the honesty of his feelings. He presses on until he remembers. This I call to mind. I remember the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And so this middle part is an exposition of the character of God, of the chesed of God to those who are suffering. And it's what we need. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. It is good that a man should wait quietly. It is good that he should bear the yoke in his youth. The goodness of God doesn't change because of our circumstances and our feelings. Waiting on the Lord is good. Bearing up under the yoke is good. What do? When we're waiting, we sit in silence. There's hope. There's dust. There's dust, but there's hope. Look at that in verse 29. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. Verse 30 sounds interesting. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was silent before his accusers and his tormentors. He gave his cheek to the one who struck him. He was filled with insults. Even Lamentations is pointing us to Christ. Because if it was Jeremiah's experience that the Lord was treating him as an enemy, it was even more Christ's experience on the cross that his Father was treating him as an enemy. And if Jeremiah thought it was bewildering because of how faithful he had been, how much more faithful had Jesus been when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the feels of his experience. But he didn't stop there. Jesus didn't stop there. By the time he was done crying out on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. And then into your hands I commit my spirit, because it is good. God is good. Verse 31, the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, he will have compassion. After the death came the resurrection of Jesus. And verse 33, this is really the heart of this, the heart of the heart of the heart. He does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. It is not the heart of God to afflict. Affliction comes because sin comes into the world. He causes grief because of his people's unfaithfulness. Jesus had to die because of our sin. But the heart of the Father toward the Son was not, I want to crush you. It was, I love you. The heart of God for his people is steadfast love. He has compassion. He causes grief, yes, verse 32, he causes grief, but he has compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, his chesed. He doesn't afflict from the heart to crush underneath all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High, to subvert a man in his lawsuit. The Lord does not approve. This isn't what God is all about. God is not about injustice. Even though sometimes sin requires the discipline and the chastisement. The Lord is just. Who has spoken and it come to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain, a man, about the punishment of his sins? And then through verse 42 is this middle section. Again, this middle section, which is, I'm now going to examine my experience, not in the light of how I feel, but in light of the character of God. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. And then the transition, verse 42, we have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. There, and the last part is prayer. So where does Lamentations 3, at the heart of it is the character of God, and then the character of God to prayer. This is a key pattern for us when we are suffering. This is key. We talk honestly about how we feel. We talk honestly about our bewilderment. We talk honestly about the fact that we have no answers, that we don't understand why these things are happening, that it hurts and it hurts deeply. We cry, rivers of tears come from our eyes, but then we call to mind the steadfast love of the Lord. We remind ourselves of the good character of God, of the justice of God. And in response to that, we examine our ways, we return to the Lord, we lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven, and we pray. We pray. And how does Jeremiah pray? Confessing sin, but also asking for relief. Jeremiah's prayer is a mixture of an acknowledgement of the character of God, but also an honesty about the pain that he is experiencing. I jump down to verse 55. I call on your name, O Lord, from the depth of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. And again, Jesus, when he was in the pit, awaiting judgment and crucifixion, when he was on the cross, he cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. You've taken up my cause. You've redeemed my life. Ultimately, this is for us rooted in the resurrection of Christ. If God heard Jesus and raised him from the dead, God will hear us and raise us up with him. He will not abandon us. We can trust him. And so he's confident. You will repay them, O Lord. He's not basing this on what he's experienced and what he feels. He's basing it on the character of God. You will repay them. You will pursue them. You will pay them back because you are the God of justice and goodness, and you love your people. I hope and I pray that all of us will learn from Lamentations how to lament, how to grieve, how to suffer, how to be in anguish, because as long as we're in this flesh, in this life, in this world, with our own issue, we are going to have cause to lament. But it's so important that we do so faithfully and well, in a way that pushes through honestly until we call to mind the character of God, and we can pray on the basis of that character, trusting him. Not faking it, not fake it till you make it. That's not what the Bible calls us to. But be real until you get real hope from the real character of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your unchanging and unfailing love. I pray for those who are listening, who are suffering. I know people very close to me, people in our church, who are going through very difficult suffering right now. Confusion. Feelings of being overwhelmed, not having answers, wanting things to be better. Some are grieved over children, grandchildren, friends, neighbors. Some are grieved over their marriage. Some are grieved over other circumstances in our lives, medical things. I pray that we would learn to lament like Jeremiah, to pour out our hearts before you like Christ, and to remember your steadfast love, to call it to mind and have it anchor our souls and our prayers through these times. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me for Lamentations 3. Tomorrow we're going on to Lamentations 4. Have a blessed day in the Lord.